received this letter from Dr. Max. Says, "Dear Dr. Harris, greetings in the bond of peace. Grace, love, mercy, peace, and joy from Yahweh our Father through his blessed Son, Yahshua the Messiah." Enclosed is a paper entitled "The Adamic Transgression." This particular subject, in certain perspectives, has caused a major controversy. This is the reason why I have been inspired to write about it. In order to reconcile all differences due to this particular controversy, a definite, specific, conclusive judgment is requested. Please analyze this writ polytechnically, and in doing so, please answer in writing all necessary corrections. This decision must come from your office due to reluctance and non-acceptation from lower officers on other subjects. Also, please give a copy of this writ to Dr. Kinley. And please ask him if he would give this specific comment to be included with your answer. I am humbly requesting a response regarding this matter as soon as possible, as it is necessary to bring about reconciliation for iniquity. Thanking you in advance for your full cooperation in response to my request. Your brother, eternally, Dr. Alfonso Max. Now, on February 6, 1974, after allowing Dr. Kennedy to read this paper entitled "The Adamic Transgression," and also Dr. Rose read it, and I read it myself, we got together and wrote a letter back to Dr. Alfonso Mackin, which I'll read to you. Now, I can understand that you may not realize why these particular points are made in regard to this paper, since you haven't, two of you have not read the paper. But anyway, we'll go ahead and read the letter that he sent back to me. February 6, 1974. "Dear Dr. Mackman, I received your letter and your paper entitled "The Adamic Transgression" a few days ago, and according to your request that I reply as soon as possible, I am herewith submitting my analysis of your paper. I've also complied with your request that Dr. Kennedy analyze this paper, and his comments are embodied as one with mine. I certainly hope that there is peace and accord there in your branch school, and what differences that might exist be cleared up as soon as possible, so that all might be fully prepared for the soon-to-be revelation of Yahshua Messiah from heaven. I cannot overemphasize the importance and urgency of this reconciliation of one with another in Yahshua Messiah. Overall, your paper was good, and it is apparent that much study and preparation went into getting it into type. You deserve our commendation. However, there are certain discrepancies and irregularities that tend to subtract from the work found, and we are enumerating these along with examples and corrections with the hope that you will accept these criticisms in the spirit of brotherly love and Yahshua Messiah. Number one, you captioned your paper "Adamic Transgression." This is an error, for as the Apostle Saul wrote, "And Adam was not deceived, But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's 1 Timothy 2:14. A better caption would be the Egypt transgression. Number two, you made statements that can be challenged by those versed in the contents of the Bible. For example, the reason why this is important, this is a quote, the reason why this is important is that the mystery of iniquity which caused the fall of Adam is an invisible spirit creature. Page 1, line 12. Whereas Adam's fall was simply caused by his disobedience to the commandment of Yahweh Elohim, Genesis 2:13-14, and Genesis 3:11. At 17 in Romans 5:19. Another example, you stated on page 1, line 28, the rebellion against this name, Joshua the Messiah, caused the expulsion of Adam from the garden. Here again, the Bible shows that disobedience to the commandment of Yahweh caused the expulsion of Adam from the garden of Eden. Genesis 3:17-3:24. Number three, you made other statements which are obvious biblical quotes, but you did not designate them as such, and thereby give the reader the impression that they are your statements. For example, remember, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Yahweh must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that judge him. Romans 1:10. Another example, this would produce faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Romans 1:15. Another example, remember there is none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved, neither is there salvation in any other name than faith in the name of the Number four, you made a reference to the true Son of Yahweh in righteousness and the true Son of Yahweh in tradition, page 1, line 20. Such a reference is definitely misleading and ambiguous, for it is impossible for one to get the idea that the true Son of Yahweh was righteous and also in tradition. You should have specified that the Son of tradition was Satan or the devil, John 17:12, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Yours in Joshua Messiah, Robert Harrison, New Civil Church. Now, evidently, it's in regard to this letter that Dr. Macklin is here, I'll be meeting with him now and make whatever comments that he'd like to make in regard to the fact that he wants to come to Los Angeles to talk to us about it.
Let me have a letter, Dr. The reason why I wanted to come because we've made recent changes in our executive staff back in the state of Illinois, of which I have not forwarded copies of these changes to the executive branch here as yet. But Dr. James Tompkins has been chosen as the director of technical writing in the state of Illinois. The director of technical writing. In other words, if any particular pamphlet written for the state of Illinois, or if anybody else chooses to write anything in regard to fly paper or leaflet or something like that that's in regard to doctrine, then he is the one that will check it and scrutinize it with my final approval. Now, in doing this, whatever we put out, there is a matter of life and death. then we were going to be absolutely sure as to what we're putting out in reference to doctrine. Now, inasmuch as this is going to be done, and in receiving the experience that I have in reference to the correction on this paper, which I asked Dr. Harris for and I appreciate, however, there are some questions that I have on the correction. Now, I stated in the paper that
I think it's necessary to interrupt you at this point because to proceed without a correction in the proper place is out of order, I would say. Mm-hmm. Now, anything that any of the schools put out so far as writing according to the doctrine, it should be submitted to the general council here in California before it is put out in the state. Sent here for oversight and look at it so that it will not be out of harmony with what we teach in the school.
Right.
So I'll suggest, if you say that he has been appointed technical writer and now like that for the state of Illinois, and that with your final approval, I think it should be extended on to the general council here,
mm-hmm.
see, for final approval before it is adopted
mm-hmm.
and put out in the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was right in order with what, you know, I'm saying here that that's one of the points that I was going to get to as I proceeded. This is one of the reasons why I sent this paper, you know, to the state. Now, this paper was written before he was appointed in the position. But now, inasmuch as the corrections that are stated in the letter, which was not fully comprehended on my part, this is the reason why I wanted to come here and get full assurance and better clarifications to the correction so that whatever I write is a part of me, and I would naturally be teaching it out there, and I would want to be correct in what I was teaching, and that is the reason why I came here to receive counsel on further necessary corrections.
But I just said this might take a lot of time before it can understand this. Now, the criticisms or corrections that he made in regard to your people, mm-hmm. they certainly, on my part, and nor Dr. Kennedy's part, I don't think, were intended lack of understanding on your part.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if, when you're right, you see, you have to be polytechnical about everything that you say. Dr. Kennedy has administered the witness to this more so than I am. We were writing the first edition of the book and the second edition of the book. Sometimes it takes him 3 or 4 days to phrase one sentence. Is that right?
Well, mm-hmm.
You see, because every word is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody that's reading that, they know what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the thing is written, it may give a different impression to the one that's reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, you have to be real careful about how you make statements.
Mm-hmm.
And the corrections that we made of your paper were more from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But the expressions you made were made in a way that might give a misconception about what you did.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I believe that you, and I know that you know better
mm-hmm.
yourself,
mm-hmm.
but it's the way that you phrase
mm-hmm.
that makes a difference. Now, in the paper there, for instance, you mentioned time and time again about Adam was not deceived, but Eve was in the transgression,
mm-hmm.
which reconciled us to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you know that.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But your paper captioned the Adamic transgression.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so consequently, that was one of the criticisms that he made. And the quote that you made, anytime you make a biblical quote, you see, it should be listed as such that that's where that quote is coming from, or that expression is coming from, because somebody that's familiar with the Bible and you have not given credit to where the quotation comes from, you see, then we may think that you're trying to take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And just such things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think that this teaches me that I should have clarified better. This particular writ was really not to be going out, you know, to anybody else. But we had a controversy on it back there in the state. You know what I'm talking about? As I said in the paper. And it was written to this extent that whatever discrepancies were in what was being taught could be reconciled here at the executive branch, here in the state of California, and forwarded back to Illinois. Now, what I had promised the people was, I said, well, what I'll do is that I'll write a letter to go along with the writ, requesting correction. Then what I'll do is get Xerox copies of the answers from Dr. Harris, give everybody a writ, you see, and furnish everybody with all necessary information so that we will be reconciling what was going on. But now when I received the particular letter back, there were some things that I didn't understand. And I'm not here, you know, on an argumentative basis. I want to be clear on what I'm doing to receive direction in whatever area that I'm teaching in, so that we all will be in harmony. In other words, we claim all the time that Illinois, New York, and Ohio, and California, one thing that is unique about this school is that we all teach the same thing. And that is my primary reason for being here. Now, in the way, inasmuch as the technicalities upon the way a thing that is expressed, there's one question I'd like to ask, please, to get a clarification on is this, and that is the caption. Now, first, I'd like to read just a line from this statement. Yahweh Elohim appeared to Moses and the prophets, then to John on the Isle of Patmos, and last of all, to the writer of Elohim, the archetype pattern of the universe. The latter spoken of in is the initiating principle of what is contained in this writ. In other words, the only thing that I could put in this paper was what I read and understood from the book and what I have been taught since I've been in the school. Now, I made some references. This title was taken from page number 14, volume 4 in Elohim, the Archetype Pattern of the Universe. It also is used on page 9, volume 2, paragraph 2 of the same book. Now, this is why I used the caption, because I saw it in the book. Now, when we had the controversy was as to whether Adam was a transgressor, as to whether he broke the law, whether he was involved in the transgression. That was the controversy. Now, the reason why the controversy came up was because the book so states that Adam, as Adam disobeyed the law of Yahweh and died, as the Israelites disobeyed the law of Yahweh and died. And it said in print, in fact, that Adam sinned and broke the law. Now, I understand the perspective and the allegory and the context in which the book is written in to show forth principles. But now, the perspective that I was trying to get across to the brother was, is that Adam, as the son of Yahweh in righteousness, being a figure of him that was to come, laid down his life for his bride and was not deceived. And the scripture so shows that he was numbered with the transgressors. Not that he was a transgressor, but that he was numbered with the transgressors. Now, then, when I captioned the paper, the Adamic transgression, it wasn't a phrase that I coined, you follow, but it was the mystery that is illustrated on the 40 play chart that we use in class. It's on the 40 play chart in this book, and it is used in expression under the caption of "Is there life after death?" And also it's used in the explanation of the expulsion of Adam from the Garden of Eden. And I just couldn't understand why the paper was captioned wrong and was an error, when in fact the chart is labeled as such. So I would like a clarification on that, if I could get it.
That's my interpretation, but we need to clarify that. Now, there is expression, and I told you when we were writing the letter, I was the one that brought it up. And I said that we do and have used it many times. It's probably in the book, then here and on the floor, see, probably on the charts, you know. But it is wrong, definitely wrong, see. Now that's the clarification on it. Now, not that Adam didn't sin. He did sin. He did disobey. See? You found that is in the book. And you found it, I mean, in the Bible I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, his disobedience, see, was, it's not like people would think. In other words, all sin, a transgression, or sin is a transgression of the law. That's what a sin is.
Yeah.
See, I don't have no way to think that.
Mm-hmm.
See, but now you see, I have to explain it as it is in the Bible to keep the other fellow off of me, as I properly should do, which we have not done. That's clear.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so therefore, when you ask for that information, then I proceeded to correct and to rectify it myself, even though I did possess a knowledge that it's been often used and all the way around in school, but it's wrong just the same.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Well, that's fine in order with me. I just want to get it from headquarters as to what it is. Now, Dr. Peter Cadeau, which is the director of Visual Aid Production, is making a 40-play chart. Now, am I in order to tell him that when he gets to plate number 15 on that chart, should he put as a caption the Edenic transgression instead of Adamic transgression?
Well, it would be better to say that. I think that's what you said in the script, didn't you, Dr.
Right.
It would be better to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Than to put it as it is on the 40-foot chart.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make some other expressions here, too.
Mm-hmm.
See, we had to correct a whole lot of mistakes in there.
Mm-hmm.
There is, Dr. Dennis probably realizes that more so than I do. A whole lot of errors is in the first volume and also in the second volume. Is that right?
Yeah, it's well over
200. It's well over 200. See, but the real thing about it is this. You see, what we want to do, and that brings me up to a place where I want to make a statement to you. Now, I know this, and I followed you close yesterday, in everything that you said. And I approve everything that you said. And the reason why I did is because you've taken it from the Bible, please. So you took it as it was laid down in the Bible. Now, in your comment that you wrote here, this letter that you wrote here, I found out one, it hasn't been brought up yet, see, about the reason why that Adam was sinned in the garden of that was wrong was on the account of the name. There's something said about it. I don't remember the exact word.
Yeah, that's in the letter.
I don't know what it said now. Tell me what it said.
I'll read this again. To proceed further with our explanation of the damage transgression, there are many common points for us to remember. Remember, there is none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other name, save in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. The rebellion against this name caused the expulsion of Adam from the garden. Yahshua's name represents understanding, wisdom, knowledge, obedience, etc.
So now you see, Adam knew nothing. If you're going to take the sixth chapter of Exodus, so Yahweh himself said that they didn't know his name. So if they said that he didn't, if he said they didn't know his name, then that's making him dispute himself. You follow? Now that brings me right back to where we were at a while ago about the Edenic, about the Edenic transgression. Now listen, sin is a transgression of the law. Disobedience to the law is a transgression. But now for the sake of somebody understanding, see, because they're reading the Bible and everything that they can bring up against what you are saying, you see, you must defend yourself in the scriptures. Now let me say this. If someone else, just like A.B. Training took a Bible, Holy Name Bible, now, it will make statements in there different than what's in the King James Version of the Bible. So now, what you must do, you must either use it from the one or the other, see, in order to be in harmony with some biblical statements, you see, or what is written in the scripture. You understand what I mean? Now, if you don't do that, then somebody's going to come along and jump on you.
That's right.
You see? They're going to say, you teach me wrong his doctrine. See? Now, I'll give you another first thought right on that score. Now, I think it's in John, where it says, no man that ascended up to heaven, say he that came down from heaven. That's right. You see? And said, which is in heaven. Now, A.D. Training says this, said which, instead of saying is in heaven, meaning present tense, see, he said was in heaven. See, now that changed the complexion of it altogether. Well, now, if you see, if you were going to write something, and you were going to refer to it in his book, you see, then you have to put it as he has it in his book.
I see. I get your point, man.
Now, if you're going to write, you can write it with the King James folks, then you see you're going to have to put it as the King James.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we say King James or the other different Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that are taken from that.
I follow.
You follow?
Mm-hmm. Well, then.
Now, did I clear?
Yes, you did. And I think that is answering most of the questions that I had about the correction. Because, as I said before, most of the things that I wrote about were taken from the book.
Yes, I realized that.
And I should have, if I was going to write it, quote the entire sentence structure and state so the page and the volume and what have you in the paper. So that it would be known where the information is coming from.
That's right.
Now, for an example, you know, to clarify what I'm saying, I think it was from the medic here, it says, you made statements which can be challenged by those versed in the contents of the Bible. In other words, the reason why this is important is that the mystery of iniquity, which caused the fall of Adam, is an invisible spirit creature. Page 1, line 12. Whereas Adam's fall was simply caused by his disobedience.
Just a minute there. Can I
Now,
what you just said there, with the remainder of the sentence, repeat it again now, copy.
The reason why this is important is that the mystery of iniquity.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
You see. The mystery of iniquity. Now, you see, Adam, there was no mystery of iniquity with him. See, he was not deceived. So there couldn't be no mystery of iniquity with him. It was with the woman. You follow? He knew well. You see, what was said about him touching the tree and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was said to the woman about trimming no trees, looking after the garden, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have a delegated responsibility there.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the keeping of the garden is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But I have a question.
A few.
Suppose what makes a difference is the complete quotation, because I took this from an excerpt on page 14, and this probably what makes the difference. I just want to get it clarified. It says, this is page 14, volume 4, and it's under the caption of the fall of Lucifer, and then Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. After Elohim had finished the physical creation, this veil, invisible angelic creature, Lucifer, entered the Garden of Eden, and Moses referred to him as the serpent in Genesis 3:1 as follows.
Mm-hmm.
Now the serpent was more serpent than any beast of the field which Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath Elohim said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Revelation 12:9. I have a question about that too. The serpent appearing in this condition or apparitional form in the most earthly, most holy place, Garden of Eden, near the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Lucifer, or the serpent, deceived Eve by persuading her to touch and eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and gave it to her husband, Genesis 2:16-17, which brought about the transgression and fall of Adam, and caused his expulsion from the Garden of Eden, as shown in plate 15, and compared to the pattern plate number 1, and also plate number 14. Now, I can see my mistake in this, because what I did is that I drew out a portion of this particular explanation, and I just capsule the statement and put it in the paper. Whereas if I was going to quote from the book, perhaps maybe I should have taken the whole expression and included the woman in it so that one could understand what I was talking about.
Yes, you see, it is pointed to the woman there, not the man. In the third chapter of Genesis, I mean being deceived and in the transgression.
Mm.
You follow what I mean?
Yes, sir. But
the devil asked her, I'll put it that way, see. Now, what did he say? He knew what Yahweh had said.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And she told him what Yahweh had said.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and he said, you shall not surely die.
Mm-hmm.
You follow? Now, there could be a follow-up on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I put it in the book or not.
Yes, it's in there.
Well, I don't know whether I did or not. Because it would go again what you call the New Testament, or the other fellow calls the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
In the 16th chapter, I think it is, or the 17th chapter of Matthew, the expression from Peter,
mm-hmm.
you shall not surely die,
mm-hmm.
or you shall die, you shall die an old death, or something like that. Which is 16th chapter, and what verse? Let's read it so we can have it as a recording. Mm-hmm. Read it. See? The reason why I'm talking the subject here is because that's the same spirit that was in the garden back there. See,
mm-hmm.
the same devil. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Not a new one, but the same devil. See?
Mm-hmm.
And when Yahshua talked about dying or death, see, how he must go and be crucified and so forth and so on, Peter said, you won't die no death. You see
mm-hmm.
what? See, that was the same devil that said Eve right there, you won't die. You see
yeah,
what I mean?
I follow that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what verse is that?
22nd verse. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, he is far from the rabbi, this shall not be unto me.
Did you say about the death, sir?
Not in the whole name Bible.
Well, this is why I say, you see, these quotes from one place or the other. Oftentimes, you see, I make you say what Bible you quote from.
Mm.
We don't do it to half the time like we should. You see what I'm talking about?
Mm.
But nevertheless, it's important.
Mm.
You see. I'll say this too, on that. See, there's millions, probably billions of people that don't have the Holy Name Bible. The majority of the people that have the Holy Name Bible that is known to us, we have sent it to them. We bought it and sent it to them. Now, there may be some others that we don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm speaking primarily of the ministry, see,
mm-hmm.
and important VIPs. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
See? But we do know those because we sent them to them, see?
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the thing that we must all be conscious of and realize that all times, be conscious of this, see? The devil is saying and doing everything that he can do, see? To impede and to tear up, see? And then I want you to know this too. Yahweh is giving him power
right.
to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
See, and he's also giving his ministers power.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see? And knowledge to, are better than to preach Yahweh and his fullness and his completeness. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, Rick, let me first here, let me give you a piece of advice that I think will help in having a time to come to. Now, these controversies that you have there in Chicago, I don't think it's necessary to go to all this trouble about. I really don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
See? Now, here's why I don't think it's necessary. You have a Bible there. See? And since you have a Bible there, see, you have one there just like we have here. You see? And it will say the same thing and one will say the same thing as the other. You see what I'm talking about? Now, where a problem can arise is just like we just said there about the Edenic trend or the Adamic transgression. Now, that can bring up a problem, which it has. You see what I'm talking about?
That's right.
See? But the real truth about it, if it's analyzed on down, you see, analyzed on down, it was Adamic transgression, because sin is a transgression, or disobedience is a transgression. See? Now, he willfully did that. Now, I'll say another thing, too, right in conjunction with that. And this should be understood, too. Paul, I believe, says, you might have to look in his commentary and find it. But Paul says that he was made to be sin for us who did no sin. He was made to be sin for us that we might be the righteousness of the Elohim and him. You understand? See? Now that's in your Bible in Chicago, it's in everybody's Bible all over the place. See, and then whenever these things come up, see, and there should and always going to be some kind of a controversy. You see. Now, for example, it says now when the sons of God, I'll put it to that, they put, you know, come to present Job, to present him the devil before the devil come also, see. Now, you are never going to have no meeting. You see? But what the devil ain't going to be present. And you are not going to be able to satisfy him, you understand, with your interpretations of the scriptures. You follow what I'm talking about? For example, let's put it like this. Jesus said, as though I'm talking out of the King James Version, said that he come to fulfill. The devil said he didn't do that. He said he come to execute. Look at the Bible. See, they don't need to write down here and call us or go to no unnecessary trouble to find out about that. You got a book. See? Take it and stand on it.
All right.
You see? So that's the way to fix that. See? Well, then that will eliminate so much problem. And it'll reconcile things much better than what it would be if you try to apply this and apply that and apply the other and interpret this and interpret that. And see, you ain't gonna never be able to satisfy him. The devil, you see what I'm talking about? He's supposed to be an opposer. You follow? And always gonna be present. Don't expect this meeting. No other meeting to play that thing, so they're not gonna do it. Good. And remember this too. We have just as much or more controversy here than you and I ever had in Chicago.
My main objective, as I said before, even though I've been raised up, I have not reached absolute perfection in my understanding. And when I think I need some direction, I think that the only place that I can go is the source from which I received it.
Well,
that's why I'm here. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
See?
That's correct. But the only thing I'm telling you, now you said you feel to the source. Now I'm saying to you, as being the source, see, Don't put yourself to all that unnecessary trouble when you got a bite of warm mouthing in the head and get it over with.
All right.
See?
All
right. For example, if it says that he was fulfilled and not instituted, you see what I'm talking about? That he was fulfilled and not instituted.
Mm.
He can blame right all the hell he wants to about it, but that's the way it is.
Mm.
You follow?
I follow you.
See, and you don't have to come down here to see her, or call her, or write no letter about it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. Now, let me clear this up, too. There's, and that's what Dr. Dent just said. There's how many was in both Bibles, number one and number two. And there's a note, I think, in this last volume.
On the first page of this volume.
That's right. See? The very first page in it right now is an error. See? Now, here's what I'm saying. See, when it comes to infallibility and perfection in print and so forth and so on, see, typographical errors and all like that, see, and then statements like we just made there about the captions and all, see, even though they're present up there on the chart.
Mm.
You follow what I mean? You see, and now it could have been said around. Well, when you say a paradox is a thing that seems to be one way in, although it can be taken another.
Yeah,
that's what a paradox is.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't say that. It could be used as such, but I wouldn't use it as such. You see, for this reason, you have a full quotation in Romans 5:14, see, by the disobedience of one man, you see, disobedience. That word disobedience is sufficient. See, without going into a whole lot of preliminaries of paradoxes and so forth and so on. You see, it caused a long drawn out something, you see, with more than matches. You have a whole lot of errors in that,
mm-hmm.
and a whole lot of misunderstandings in the drawn-out situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're dealing with here now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why I'm asking this question is because you've taught us to be polytechnical in our expression and also in our
analysis.
You've taught us to be that.
That's right.
Now, it says that Adam, according to Luke 3:38, is the son of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if you're saying blatantly that he sinned.
Now, I explain this. I'm going to repeat.
All right.
I said that Eve was in the transgression.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam could take it of the fruit of the tree because of his pride. And I went on and carried on further back and showed you that was a thing that was even before the foundation of the world.
Mm.
So Yahweh knew what Adam was going to do, the woman.
Mm.
And it was purpose for him to do what he'd done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now he was made to be responsible. You see, I'm talking about the Creator now. You see, he was made to be responsible. Creator, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
See, for the things that he had created.
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Created the man. Told the man. See, and he again that was to come. Now, Adam, I just made the expression how it goes. Adam partaken of the fruit of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a disobedience. He was told not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
See?
I follow
you. Well, he did that on the account of his bride. Now, here's the application of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yahshua the Messiah just made this question by the door.
Mm-hmm.
He was made to be sin for us that we might be the righteousness of Yahweh in him.
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Mm-hmm.
He made to be that sin sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
even before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Mm-hmm.
He was made to be that sin sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
even before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? And it's the only sacrifice that Yahweh will accept.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you, I could go ahead on and lay out a whole lot of stuff here about the prodigal son.
Absolutely.
But there's no need of it. You see what I mean? Now, you know how that is.
Yeah.
Now, he asked his father for his portion, and he gave it to him, you see. And then he went and spent it in Roger's living that he did, sported around, he made this, and he made that, and he made the other, made this, and made that, and just oversported it, doesn't do a lot of gash.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm
sorry. Now, then you got to be responsible for his creation, really, see. For his restoration and redemption. In other words, he has to take the responsibility on himself,
mm-hmm.
you see, for what goes on. Same thing you got Nixon in the Watergate. He didn't probably create a whole lot of them things, but he has to take the responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're hearing.
And if he didn't do it, then it's dereliction of duty. So, anyhow, you have to be responsible for it. That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
If I spoke, because he made the man, Yahweh is not made the man. Now he's got to be responsible for his redemption.
May I say this? I don't see Messiah makes me sin in the same respect as Adam.
No, that's right.
Adam disobeyed.
That's right. He said that he did no sin. Neither was God found in his mouth. And that's why John didn't want baptizing, because he was not a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't take one sinner and make an atonement for the other. You understand what I'm talking about? You don't do it that way. So you have to have a righteous man to accept the responsibility for it. You see what I'm talking mm-hmm. about?
So you're saying that Adam is a figure of him to come? He's a figure of him that was to come?
Yes. Adam partaken of the fruit of the tree for the sake of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You see? In other words, he took the responsibility on himself.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Now, Dr. Kendall, what I have to be perfectly honest. One thing that I don't understand is this. If he's a figure in one sense, you know, it would seem, and I want to take my assumptions out of it, that he would be a figure all the way. Now, here's what I'm saying. That if he willingly partook of the sin for his bride, he willingly died for her, went ahead and did what he always said not to do, because of his instinctive love for his bride, being a figure of Yahshua the Messiah that was to come, that partook of our sins for us, he willingly died for us. Now, if that figure works in that particular respect, then if Yahshua the Messiah was without sin, even though he partook of the sins for us, it would seem like to me the same would apply to Adam if he's a figure of him that was to come.
What this thing I was speaking about is Adam died because he disobeyed the commandment. But the Messiah died to redeem Adam. He went, in other words, Adam went, died and went down because of a disobedience of the commandment not to touch the tree. But the Messiah, he just died to raise the first man, Adam, up. He made it be sin. That is, he took on the likeness of sinful flesh and went down into death to bring him up. But as far as him disobeying the commandment, and Adam. I don't see that he did.
Well, was I right when I said this in the paper at the end? Ended it with this. This is next to the last paragraph. Remember, Adam, as the son of Yahweh, in righteousness, was not deceived and was not a transgressor, but rather partook of the death for his offspring, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Now, is that statement correct or incorrect?
Adam died for the love of his wife. Likewise, the Messiah come and died for the love for his wife, spiritually. But the Messiah came down and was made to do sin in order to redeem Adam, who by disobedience of the commandment died.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that Messiah disobeyed the commandment and died, and to be made to be sin, I don't see how you could say that. You understand?
No, he didn't disobey.
That's right.
He obeyed. See, now that throws the thing right there out of context without an explanation. See, so it just barely uses it in a different sense as Paul uses it, say, in Romans 5, in the 5th chapter of Romans, by disobedience of one man, sin, you understand? And he talks about his Adamic sin, see, or disobedience. Now, let's say this too while we're at this. The probabilities are, this is something that hasn't come out in the Washington yet. And it's probably a little bit hard to see. Now, Yahshua, the Messiah, was the word of Yahweh himself, and he was a son. He was the Word and the Son. Now, when we carry that thing on back there to Adam, as a son, you see, that it was within him, your Father. Well, what I'm really trying to say is this. If you follow it down both ways, see, he was executing the will of the Father. You follow what I'm talking about and what was done. That is why I tried to show you, you see, that he was as a sacrifice before the creation. You see,
mm-hmm.
You see what I'm talking about? That's why I tried to show that.
Mm-hmm.
See, but as so far as the disobedience was concerned, see, it was really Adam or the Son himself. Or the Father speaking through the Son, saying, don't touch the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You find that?
I'm sorry. But you see, you have one heck of a hard time getting somebody else to see it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get older than the fool trying to get somebody to see it.
All right.
Doc Kim, you made a statement to me one time. It's been 4 or 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where you told, and I think you made it on the floor later too, where you said after that Joshua came in to fulfill the law, not keep it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's the same thing that Adam.
That's correct.
He's fulfilling the purpose.
That's right.
Not keep it.
That's right. That's correct. That one kind of shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the correlation of the two sons.
The purpose was Adam had the touch of that tree in order to bring man to heaven down.
Correct.
And the purpose was that Joshua had the touch of that tree to bring mankind.
That's correct. That had to be made for us, that we might be in him, the likeness of Yahweh. Now that's the real. Let me see if I
can. I understand it.
Let's put one more thing in here. See, now this isn't understood either. That Yahweh was in Yahshua, reconciling the world under himself. Now that goes by the board.
Mm.
Folks don't understand that at all.
Mm.
And they will definitely challenge you on that.
Mm. He was an Adam bringing him down.
That's right. That's correct.
And my questions on these things that are in the paper, I think that, matter of fact, I know that they all have been cleared up. I don't think I even have to go through any more, use any more time going into the rivers of paper, because I see the things that I failed to do and failed to document, and if anything else is written according to the purpose, if Yahweh so wills it, then I'll know the next time what to do. But I don't at any time intend to say anything or preach anything other than what I've been taught and what is written in this book.
Yes, that's right.
You understand? So that we as sons of Yahweh will be in harmony.
That's right.
But I do think that my injections of another cardinal point is necessary at this particular time. I've had it on my mind for quite some time now. And I might as well get it off my chest. I've heard the expression often, don't move ahead of the cloud. Now, in my understanding, in the way that I see it, anything that I come across, any correlation that I make, would have to come from what I've been taught and what is written. All right? Now, in the manner in which Yahweh gives me the words to express it, it might appear to be something that the old man has not gone into. But if I speak it, it would have to come from what he has taught me and what he has written. Now, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Dr. Harris is a professional medical doctor. All of the correlations that he received on the physical body is a result of what he's been taught out of the book and through Dr. Kimmel's mouth. Is that right, Dr. Harris? You follow what I'm saying? Now, Dr. Kimmel does not go into, per se, physically speaking, from this body here, the correlations of the physical body. You follow? But these are revelations from Yahweh within that body, according to what is written in the book and what has been spoken through this particular vessel. Now then, when you go into things per se that maybe the people haven't heard the old man say, or maybe they've been in class and they haven't heard it, then you come up with something that apparently, you know, is new. And you hear the expression, don't move ahead of the cloud. Now I would like to have that clarified, please. That would clear up some maybe misconceptions in my own mind at heart in reference to the way that the statement is being coined or used, you know, in the confines of school.
Well, I think that would be my duty to I'll tell you something else. I'm going to bring this up as a correlation.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard me say this, that I know how to go to Rome or anywhere else I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
More than one way.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to catch an airplane, ride a railroad train, or I know how to make up a jacket and be there. Now, it would take me as long as it would to go up to explain to somebody else how that could be done. See? You follow? Now, I did that. See? And I did it more than one time. See? Then people come back and they beg me never to do that no more. In 1967, we had that affair, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I'm saying. See? Now, you do the same thing. You do it.
Mm.
Everybody in the house does it. But you
just left Chicago. And you were getting ready to go to Los Angeles. And the last words I told him was not in court. Not at that time, because we had just gotten some people together, you remember?
Mm.
And that night, you said, I appeared to you in Jewish language.
That's
and
right.
Told you, read you so quick.
That's right.
And you got on the telephone the next day and called up there in New York and told me in New York, all right, I got the message.
Yeah, that's right.
Now I was not conscious at all. I was hearing you, not at all.
Yeah, that's
I was thinking about you, but I was not conscious at all. I had made a projection to you. Not at all.
Well, I remember that.
Not made that in proceed.
All right.
By going in. You see, my thing of it is, now here's the whole story. Now this is the purpose of Yahweh condensed. This is it, condensed. And it's always nice to refer to it as such. And I was trying hard last night to show that the end was declared from the beginning. And about institution and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so far as Yahweh is concerned, the thing has been concluded with him. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The whole show. It's been started and over with. With him.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But not with you. You follow what I'm saying? So now what you have to do, you have to follow through in order to see and to understand what it is really all about.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Now, as you know, I thought better about not going ahead of the curve. And then I brought up a correlation about projection.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it astral projection.
Okay.
See, the father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Yeshua the Messiah did that many times.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to his disciples. When they were walking on the water down there, and they thought they saw a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting up there in the mountain.
Right.
See? Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? You see, back over there in Genesis, first chapter, the spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the water.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now he's got to fulfill all of that. You follow what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
But now, see, here's the point. See, when you say run ahead of the cloud, now this is what I really mean by it. Don't start nothing that you haven't understood in the teaching without the ability to explain it according to the teaching.
Okay.
Now that's what I mean. Now don't run this
car. I heard you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm.
Now somebody else may say, well, you run ahead of the crowd. You see? But she has the ability to explain it. You weren't ahead of the cloud. Not by any means. You follow my thoughts?
Well, that clarifies. That is not the way it was originally projected to me. And I understand what you're talking about now.
But if you possess the ability to explain what you're talking about according to the knowledge of the scripture,
yes, that's right,
and prove what you're talking
now
about.
Now, just a minute. I want to put one thing in there. See, it should be the Holy Spirit in you.
Mm.
That is, in me and in you. You see, then that won't move you here, the club.
Mm.
You follow what I'm talking about?
Mm.
Now, let me see if I can show that so that we can understand what we're talking about. Look how many writers there were. Moses and Isaiah and Jacob and all of them, you see. And they were all right with the cloud all the time. See, it may seem like he's off the door, of course, but he wasn't. You see what I'm talking about?
Mm. Yeah.
See? So now that's the way it is. In other words, if we could just do one thing, if we could just get it in our hats, or in our heads, or in our hearts or minds, you see, that there is a Holy Spirit in operation. So, and that Spirit is universal. And it expresses itself to everybody. Let's put it that way, see. To everybody. And there is a spirit of negation, see, in existence. And it's just to the opposite of to the contrary. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we want to do is this. See, we're never going to get to the place, I just might as well come on up and tell you, see.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to get to the place where you're going to overtake Yahweh to such an extent.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Until you can sit down and write a paper.
Mm-hmm.
You see, follow some kind of statements in all that it was made. Or in other words, you're finite and he's infinite. So you never make a statement. You don't know what he made it.
Mm-hmm.
So just like he said, he declared the end from the beginning. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses say that when Yahweh put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, or they were in the Garden of Eden, he didn't know what they were going to do. Now, if that be the case, then how is he going to declare the end from the beginning? See? Now, they always stand you to the face that they're right about it. You see what I'm talking about? And just wrong it and be. You see that, son? I'd like to bring up something else while I'm on the score. See, they say that the Holy Spirit is not in any man. And yet the Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You see? And Yahweh's anointing said he dwelt between the wings of the thrones within the tabernacle. Is that right? Leviticus 16:2. Now that just means Jehovah's Witnesses don't know nothing about what they're talking about. And they're in direct disputation with the Bible, but aren't unaware of it, you see. And in Ezekiel 36:24-25, he says, I'll wash you from all your idols and put my spirit within you. Second chapter of Acts, Paul says, the Holy Spirit was poured out, see, upon. That's what they're saying. Upon.
Mm-hmm.
See? And it says there they were filled, right in the same chapter, filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's upon and within too. Now,
right.
See, you're in the atmosphere. See? It's upon.
Mm.
And you certainly do breathe in and out of your lungs. It says it's within.
That's right.
Now, you follow me?
Well, I understand.
The commandments were laid in the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You see? If that be the case, your body is the temple. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you have the most holy places in there, see? So you're going to put in your heart Yes, in your every part. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Now, the Bible does that.
Mm.
You see? Now, my thought to you is this, in every respect, in every regard, see, as to any time you are working out there on the field, just remember now that you are not going to be able to reconcile everybody to the right thing. You are not going to be able to do that. See? Well, just rest assured that's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to. See? But if you're holding to him, you're holding to the purpose. You see? Now, really, condensed purpose. Yahweh created Elohim. Yahweh Elohim created everything. He declared the end and the beginning, and he works all things after the counsel of his own will.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Now listen now to what I'm going to say. That's why they went to the trouble to put them charts at first, you see. And they correlate one thing with the other, line upon line, precept upon precept. So, now that removes the necessity of a lot of long gone out debates. For example, if somebody said, you said, well, how many stories does Noah's Ark have? Good. Well, so it has three stories. Well, why does it have three stories? So it's a figure or something. You see, then the tabernacle has three compartments. The temple has three compartments. See, you're just tying one thing to the other, and just knocking down everything there, so it's just like I just got to tell you about the commandments
mm-hmm.
of the tables of stone. You see? Now, the devil, he's going to say no. See? Now, I'll give you one. I'll give you another one. See, now, you've got in your Bible there, and I think it's in Matthew, where they said that his disciples come and stole him away, where he was crucified and laid in Joseph's new tomb, and the guard and the stone and all rolled up at the door, you see. And he resurrected, from the dead, and they went up to the Sanhedrin Council that sent them down there, the guards and all three, and they buried them. See, and they said that his disciples come and stole him away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what we have been talking about right here. We've been talking about the Son.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got two sons. One out there in the sky, see, and that natural sun out there in the sky points to the sun, you see, mm-hmm. the other sun, the real sun,
mm-hmm.
the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they work together, see, from the Garden of Eden right on down, you see, them two suns,
mm-hmm.
you see. Now, scientifically speaking, see, science don't accept the fact that vegetation could grow without the sun. I agree with them. See? So, but you see, they fail to see the sun being the creator. The sun is before everything.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But they're looking at the cosmic light in the sun. You see what I mean? Looking at it like that, you see? And most of them not understanding it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You follow? Now, let me say this. Now, you see them two sons come down, Adam, and this when the sun was going down. See, he was being expulsed from the garden, right? When Yahshua and Messiah fulfilled them now, Yahshua, well, let's go back to God and get this first and put this in there, see? We could put Noah and the ark, and then we come on down to Moses and the children of Israel coming up there, you see? And then buried in the back in the Red Sea, and I put on the chart, or ring, you see, and the light on one side, and darkness back toward the Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
See? You see the point?
Mm-hmm.
And then to show the sun rise, you see?
Mm-hmm.
The light and the darkness. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Now then, I go on over to Joseph's new tomb. The son is buried in the tomb. Now they went down together to turn dark over the face of the earth from the 6th to the 9th hour when he was crucified. He went down together. Mm-hmm. See, then he got to come up together. Okay. You see what I'm talking about? From very early in the morning, as beginning to dawn toward the first day of the week, so he rose from the dead. That is to say, he split right between. He was the light of the world. He split right between light and darkness. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And he resurrected from the dead.
Yeah.
Now here's my catch. So, now if you got it in your Bible that the disciples come and stole him away. Now some idiot don't know how to prove that that's not so. And that it's a lie. This morning, today, mm-hmm. the sun rose in the east and sure did set in the west. He rose and he ascended on the zenith, do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And he sure did go down, that is to say, he sat down.
Mm-hmm.
Ascended and sat down. You understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I mean today. That was today. Now you tell me who is it could go out and take the sun out of the sky and hide it away someplace.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? You can't do that.
I got one other question. I believe just one more. I had planned within myself when the thought came to me. I've been reorganizing and getting the people to work together in harmony as a unit. And, you know, delegating responsibilities to the various wards so everybody could do their job in their particular perspective. And I had planned to make more visitations myself to the various churches as a witness to the people that are out there in those churches. And in doing this, I would have to be away from class from time to time, but I do have a man that is capable and able-bodied to somewhat bride of the body, you know, in my absence. And I would like, you know, some advice or wisdom on that as to whether this is profitable or not, or is this the matter to go about it in, or should it be done in some other kind of way in reference to propagation.
Well, my viewpoint is that I think you ought to stay there and teach the class, because leaders of class, and try to affect people into your class. I think that's a more powerful method. Now, I know that's a very slow process. What have you? You don't expect you're going to get a whole avalanche of people come in, because just according to the purpose that Jesuit people, the new heaven, is going to be coming in at this time. There's one here and one there. So my feelings about it is that you go out there and spend a lot of time in the churches asking yourself in the class that it could be that some of them that you already have in the school, you see, might be discouraged and might leave while you are out there trying to get others in. You see, you might lose out on some of those that you have, even though you might have somebody that can take your place. That's not like you did there.
That's what
you see. Now, I would encourage those that are coming to school to try to encourage others that are out in the churches to come in and use whatever contact you're able to make from time to time on your job or what have you, that you try to encourage them to come in to where you were teaching. But as far as you going out to these churches, generally speaking, you see, you're going out there in the devil's belt, being a week, and
patient. She is a pain in the household, and sometimes they can accuse you of being a troublemaker. It's just a risk of that sort, you see.
The reason why I asked that question, I know there's all phases of the ministry. You know, Paul writes to one of his sons in the faith, and he tells him to do the work of an evangelist. And I know that evangelism can be projected in all types of forms. Now, we have initiated through the technology department to write up flyers for the students to go out in the various neighborhoods and put them in people's mailboxes and pass them out, you know, wherever they can to advertise the school in that particular manner. And also we have initiated a movement in the public relations department to contact various television stations and radios and try to get it out in that particular manner. But I was just, you know, wondering about the personal aspect of going into the particular churches, but I received that particular piece of wisdom well. I was just in a war about it. I just didn't know. I was thinking about what you just said, and I was thinking about going out and doing all I could to leave Chicago and the surrounding areas without an excuse. In reference to not here in the gospel.
Then on occasion, maybe somebody might extend you an invitation. I said it. On such occasion, if you accept the invitation, then take some of your congregation along and extend your commitment, you see, like you represented. And on such an invitation like that, then maybe you might get a chance to say something or explain something there. It might be helpful. But normally speaking, they're popping in on these churches. Mm-hmm. You see, they're not going to give you too much chance to say anything. Mm-hmm. Under most circumstances. You see, the devil's wise, he's smitten. And he's not going to give you a chance to tear up his household.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? No, he's not going to give you that chance for the most part. So normally speaking, that's a waste of time.
Now there is one other area that we're in the process of trying to start something, and that's in Rockford. David moved from here to Rockford, and she got some people interested, and we went down there on about four occasions, but she hasn't called back, you know, recently. And of course, I've been, you know, going down there. Well, down to Rockford, Illinois. That's about 90 miles. I don't know what direction it's in from Chicago. But I was wondering, you know, like the various other cities in Illinois and the suburban communities, would it be wise to try to instill in some of the other ministers to go out and try to get something started and to spread it that way? From the state?
Glad you brought that up. I'll take that and do it. This boy is staying over here with Josephine and Bill.
Ronnie Witherspoon?
Ronnie Witherspoon. He went to Chicago. You were there when he was before he departed, wasn't he?
Right.
I sent a message. And he asked me before he left if I wanted to send any kind of a message, and I told him yes, and I did. And this was a message that I sent. I told him to tell you to remain steadfast, he said, and be alert at all times, you see. And continue to try to admonish and encourage the people there in Chicago. In other words, it was just a general thing. You see what I'm talking about?
Mm.
which you would know even without me having anything to say. You done with what you was there for.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, he comes back and he tells me that Jim Compton and his brother was thinking about going out into some, he named the place,
Selhurst.
Amherst or whatever. Mm. And another place over there, starting at the school. And he said that I said that, he told them that I said it would be all right. You see, but now I never tell nobody nothing like that. See, without saying, well, to the rip. See, or whoever is in charge of that state. I don't do things that way. You follow what I mean? And I didn't think, then when he said that, I said, but I don't think that Rip would be out of harmony with such a procedure, to say, but since you did it. But I did not say that, you see, it didn't come in my mind. I didn't know nothing about it. You see what I'm talking about? Nobody said nothing to me about it. But him until when he came back. You see, so I just want to let you know. You see, I told him as he got back, I said, I didn't think. And I said, that's what we're trying to do here, is to get them to go out and get something started somewhere, see.
Right.
And spread the message all over the world. That's what we're really trying to do, every kind of way we know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now that was that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like to ask this. Now, do you understand our position? I said ours, but I'll bring it back to myself. Do you understand my position?
Yes, I do, Doc.
On what you wrote in the letter?
Yes.
And what is in that book?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand my position on it?
Yes. I must confess that in my own mannerism, I was a little bit irritated because I didn't fully read and comprehend the motivation, thought, and intent of the paper. I must confess that. And then I just got a little bit hot because I had taken the precepts from the book, but I understand now it was the manner in which